Okay, good morning, Rabbi. Thank you for the warm introduction. I don't think I ever received an introduction like that before. Only in England. Pasuk says in Megillah, "Kein karu la yamim ha'ela furim al shem apor." Therefore, these days are called furim because of the poor. In other words, the name of the holiday, the name of the Yom Tov, is named after the lottery. And Bnei Yisachar asks the following obvious question. Typically, when you name a Yom Tov, you name it after the Yeshua, the salvation. Pesach is, Hashem was Pasach al Batenu. Sukkis, Rivan Shalom saved us in the Midbar. The typical way to name a Yom Tov, and the reasonable way to name a Yom Tov, is to name the Yom Tov after the salvation that was wrought. But no, Purim is named after the Tzara. Because we know the poor, the lottery, was how Haman tried to figure out a date to annihilate the Jewish people. What kind of chachma is there in naming a holiday, and naming a Yom Tov, not after the Yeshua, but rather after the Tzara? Okay. There's a Shaila Masechet Megillah on Daf Yud Tes Siman Aleph. How much of Megillah Esther do you need to read? Rav Meir Oimer. Rav Meir says Kula. You need to read the entire Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Meish Yehudi. Rabbi Yehuda says you start from Ish Yehudi, Haya, B'Shushana, Bira. Rabbi Yossi says no. From Achar Hadvar Ma'ela, Gidal Ma'chazresh, Eshama. Comes a Brisa in the Gemara, and the Gemara quotes a Brisa. The Rajbi says that you don't have to begin the Megillah until Balayla Ahu Nadida Shnas HaMelech. And the Gemara says all four opinions learn their respective opinion from the same Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Batichtoiv Esther HaMalkom Archai Yehudi has called Toikef. They wrote all the strength. And the Shaila is the strength of who? The strength of Achashverosh, the strength of Haman, the strength of Mordechai. So we have this four-way machloikis. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Rajbi. How do we paskin? Says the Gemara, we paskin tzorich likrois kula. So halacha l'maisa, the Gemara concludes, we paskin like Rav Meir, that you need to read the entire Megillah. How strange, we paskin like Rav Meir, because we know there's a klal in Shas. And that klal is, we never, ever, ever, ever paskin like Rav Meir. The Gemara in Arabin says, "I'm in Vavam Abayz." Machloikis, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, halacha Rav Yehuda. Machloikis, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, we paskin like Rav Yossi. And certainly, machloikis, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, halacha Rav Yossi, because if we don't even follow Rav Meir against Rav Yehuda, we certainly don't follow Rav Meir against Rav Yossi. This is the opinion of Rav Yochanan, that we never ever paskin like Rav Meir. And the reasoning is, the Gemara in Arabin says that actually Rav Meir was the greatest sage in the generation. We don't know what he's talking about. We don't understand what he's saying. He's too great. So if he's too great, and we don't understand him, halacha goes by human reason, not by... Look, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would come into the show, let's say you had a shaila. Let's say you had a halacha question. And you ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then your Rav told you a different psak. You follow your Rav, you don't follow the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's loy b'shamayim hi. So it's true though, right? So just because Rav Meir was the greatest sage in the generation, big deal, we don't know what he's talking about. And therefore there's a rule, we never, ever paskin like Rav Meir. So I was bothered. Why, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, this seems to be the one exception in Shas, that we don't paskin not like the Rajvi, and not like Rabbi Yehuda, and not like Rabbi Yossi, but we paskin like Rav Meir, Tzorech, Likrois, Kula. And I looked, and I looked, and I searched, and I searched. Does anybody ask this question? U'matzasi eisho ava nafshi. Sure enough, there's a very obscure sefer in Masechta Megillah. It's called Matas Elokim. The Matas Elokim was written by the author of Shabbos Shelmi on Masechta Shabbos. Soon the daf is coming to Shabbos. One of the classics from Masechta Shabbos is Shabbos Shelmi. That one is well known. But the one on Megillah is virtually unknown. And he asks this very question. Why do we paskin like Rav Meir, Tzorech Likrois, Kula? Next question. We know there are many mitzvahs on Purim. There are four mitzvahs. You have Mishnah Manos, you have Sudas Purim, you have Mikra Megillah, and you have Matanos Levyanim. Of all the mitzvahs of Purim, which is the most important mitzvah? Matanos Avyoinim. The Rambam says you need to put more energy into Matanos Avyoinim than any of the other mitzvahs. Even in the quality of the Matanos Avyoinim. Ein medaktikim b'mois Purim. Kol ha'poshet yad noisnin lai. So we have this great mitzvah of Matanos Avyoinim on Purim, and the question is, what shaychus does it have to do with Purim? Why should you specifically give tzedakah on Purim? More than Lag BaOmer, more than Tisha B'Av, more than President's Day. You always have to give tzedakah. There's halacha, you have to give tzedakah. Al Tashi, don't turn someone away empty-handed. If someone asks for tzedakah, you should give them tzedakah. You have to give Meiser. What in the world does Matanos Avyoinim got to do with Purim? Why were they misaking? What's the connection to the storyline? We're about to be killed, chas v'shalom. Our lives were saved. Great. So let's celebrate. We'll have a suda. We'll read the story. We'll bring gifts to our friends. Why Matanos Avyoinim? What's the connection between Matanos Avyoinim and the Yom Tov of Purim? So to understand the danger that we were in and the looming threat of Haman, we have to go back to the source of the first battle between Yaakov Avinu and Esav. And the pasuk says in Vayishlach that as Yaakov Avinu was about to encounter his wicked brother, the pasuk says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'oid Vayetzalai. Yaakov Avinu was very frightened and he was distressed. What was he frightened about? What was he distressed about? Says Rashi, Vayira Yaakov Shema Yehareg. He was afraid lest he be killed. He was distressed. Shema Yaharoig Acherim. He was afraid lest he kill simply Esav. He didn't want to have to kill Esav. And the question on that is, why would he be afraid that he would kill Esav? Ask the Mizrahi, ask the Gur Aryeh, ask all the Mefarshei Rashi. Esav is coming to kill him. There's a halachic principle. Haba laharagacha, hashgein baharga. Esav is a roidev. So why would Yaakov Avinu be afraid to kill Esav? The darshei reshuma isamru. The darshanim say, when I say the darshanim, I mean across the entire spectrum of Sifrei Yisrael. From Mayana Shel Torah, Pninim Yukarim, Pardes Yosef, Zichron Shmuel, even Lomdusha Svarim, the Chavetzelis HaSharoin writes, this is Mata B'Bei Midrasha. The Kloisenberger Rebbe says, Ha'oilam Amru, the following pshat in this Rashi. The Gemara says that as the Romans were about to destroy the temple, they sent a general, and the general was Nero Kesar. And he was about to destroy Yerushalayim, and he comes to a little child, and he says, Yingala, tell me your pasuk. So to make a long story short, the kid says, you're going to destroy the temple, and God's going to wipe his hands with you, you're a dead man. So Nero Kesar says, God wants me to do his dirty work and then he's going to, you know, kill me? Nah, I'm out of here. Orak, v'ozal, v'aganyar, v'nofak minei, Remeir. So what do we learn from here? Remeir was a descendant of Esav, of Edom. He came from Edomite converts. The Zeda of Rav Meir was the man with the red hair, Esav. Rav Meir came from Esav. Now, Rav Meir has another name. Ayin Soif Hoirias. Remember the story? Rav Shimon Gamliel came into the Beis Medrash, everyone stood up. Rav Meir and Rav Nosson came to the Beis Medrash, everyone stood up. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what is this? The assistant rabbi gets the same kavod as me? This doesn't work. It will never work. You cannot treat the assistant rabbi like the rabbi. Rav Shimon Gamliel made sure to make a new rule when Rav Meir wasn't there, that when I walk in, you stand up. When Rav Meir walks in, you do a little shuffle. Rav Meir walks in the next day, he doesn't get the kavod, he says, my hi, they told him about the new gzeira. Rav Meir says, let's get back at him. So Rav Meir says, you know, this is Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's a nice guy, but he doesn't know Uktzin. So tomorrow we're going to ask him, we're going to invite him to Torah Way, and we're going to say, give a shir in Uktzin. So they were about to really get Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's an individual by the name of Rav Yaakov Ben Karshi. And he's in the sitting in the back of the Beis Medrash, and he opens up Uktzin, and he starts saying Uktzin on the top of his lungs, and Rav Shimon Gamliel overhears, and he says, there must be a reason why I need to learn Uktzin now, and he chaps it, and he's ready for the next day, and Rav Meir and Rav Nosson say, no, Zogiver, say over Uktzin, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says it over like nobody's business, and then he says, you guys are out of here, get out. You're not allowed in the base matter, so we're not saying over Torah in your name. Rav Meir, your new name is Achirim. Achirim Omru, that's Rav Meir. So Darshei Rishuma is Omru. Then when it says that Yetzer Loi, that Yaakovino was afraid, Shema, Yaroig Achirim, it doesn't mean he was afraid he was going to kill Esav. It meant if he's going to kill Esav, he's going to knock off Rav Meir. And how could we be without Rav Meir? And that's what Yaakov was afraid of. Now, even though this shot stands on its own, but as we're going to see in the context of the Purim story, it's mamish haflavafela. Because why was Yaakov Avinu specifically afraid that he would knock off Rav Meir? There are a lot of great people who came from Esav. Shemaya v'Avtalioin, Onklus Hager, all these people came from Esav. Why is Yaakov Avinu fixated on Rav Meir? Okay, so let me ask you a question. What is the greatest miracle of the Purim story? What is Ikar Hanis? This is the question of the Chassam Sofer. Says the Chassam Sofer, the fact that we sinned and we did tshuva, and Hashem was mekabel our tshuva. Of course Hashem is mekabel our tshuva. Hashem is even mekabel the tshuva of Nineveh. The fact that Achashverosh first wanted to kill the Jews, and then he changed his mind. The guy's crazy anyway. He always changes. He's a melech hafachvach. It's not a miracle that he changed his mind. The ikerness of Purim, says the Chassam Sofer, is that what is the greatest avera Klal Yisrael ever did? Exactly. They were nenef from the Suda of Achashverosh. They were nenef from the Suda of Achashverosh. I said, really? How do I know that's the greatest sin? Because it was the only sin that ever warranted in our history a gzeira of lahashmid laroi guliabed minar v'yadzakein tafenashem. Egel Azov? No, Moshe Rabbeinu would still be kicking. He'd still be around. But this is the only gzeira all of Klal Yisrael where there was a looming threat. It was certainly up there on the top 10, okay? Top 5. But probably the worst. Now, at what moment, so think about it, at the moment Klal Yisrael is sinning with the greatest sin in our history, the Ribbono Shel Olam is being mechin the Yeshua, he's preparing the salvation, that Vashti should be invited, and she's going to refuse, and now Achashverosh has to appoint a new queen, and as we're doing the worst aver that warrants a gezeira of Lashon Hara Goliavid, the Ribbono Shel Olam is preparing and paving the way for salvation. That's the greatest miracle. That there is nothing that we could do that is so terrible that makes us ineligible for the Yeshua Hashem. You know what this proves, says the Chassam Sofer? This proves the following shita. There's a machloikis in Kedushin Lamed Vav. What is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So you have a kid. The kid misbehaves. The kid is rude. He's not acting properly. So somebody asks you, is this your kid? No, I adopted him. It doesn't work like that. No matter what your kid does, he's your kid. She's your kid. But not with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, Bizman she'oisin ritzoino shel makom nikru ubanim, Bizman she'ein oisin ritzoino shel makom, we are not his children. You hear such a musag? You could be, have a relationship with someone that only if you do certain things you are related, and if you don't do them, you're not related. But Rav Meir says no. Rav Meir says, Bein kachu, bein kach nekra and banim. Says the Chassam Sofer, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meichin the Yeshua at the time of the Avera is moichiach shitas Rav Meir. That we are always considered banim lamakoim. That's the great miracle of Purim. That Rav Meir is correct. That we paskin like Rav Meir. Now, by the way, but I thought we said before, we don't paskin like Rav Meir ever. There's one exception. Kam shasa chibas harajva, simen kuf tzadi dalid, and reish chav dalid, reish membez. And the Rajba says that even though we never, ever paskin like Rav Meir, in the machloikis of bein kach u bein kach nekra and banim, we do paskin like Rav Meir, says the Rajba. Why do we paskin like Rav Meir? It's because Rav Meir cites four psukim. Kroi kadaiki kvasei. Rav Meir has psukim like him. Says the Rajba, therefore, even though we never paskin like Rav Meir, here we paskin like Rav Meir. I saw over the years a number of different reasons why over here we paskin like Rav Meir. There's one of the original Mekubalim, Rav Yaakov Sha'altiel Ninyo. In the Sefer Emes Yaakov writes, the reason we passing like Rav Meir is why ordinarily do we not passing like Rav Meir? Because lo yardu chachamim l'soif daitai. We don't know what he's talking about. But that's when he's giving an opinion of something that's relevant to this world. But when he's offering an opinion of something relevant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does God view us? So it doesn't matter, we don't understand him. Avada, the Ribbono Shel Olam understands Shitas Rav Meir. So regarding the Ribbono Shel Olam, we for sure paskin like Rav Meir, that ben kach nekram banim. By the way, the Satmar Rebbe says the same svara on his own. He doesn't quote the Emes Yaakov. He says, that's the pshat we say in Rosh Hashanah. Im kibanim, im tavada. It says like this. Im kibanim, if we act like banim, rachameinu k'rachim ava banim. V'im kavadim, and if we don't act like banim, so we're in hot water up the creek without a paddle. V'im kavadim, if we act like avadim, no problem. Einenu l'cha t'luyos. We depend on you, because you understand Shitas Rav Meir, and you'll understand that ben kachu ben kach nekoran banim. So we started off with Akasha. That how can we paskin like Rav Meir? Tzarech l'krois kula. I thought we never ever paskin like Rav Meir. The answer is this is not another exception. It's the same exception to the rule. It's Rav Meir l'shitase. Rav Meir who holds bein kach nekran banim. Rav Meir holds you have to read the entire Megillah because the beginning of the story is the most clear evidence that the Ribbono Shel Olam, even at a time of a great Avera, when we would have expected that we should be ineligible for the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, still we see that we are considered Banim Lamakam. In other words, this is not a second exception to the rule. But according to the Chassam Sofer, that the Ikar Nes is the beginning of the story, that at the time of the Suda of Achashverosh, the Ribbono Shel Olam is paving the way for Yeshua, that is Rav Meir l'shitase, bein kach u'bein kach nekran banim. So in effect, there's only one exception to the rule. There's only one time in Shas we paskin like Rav Meir, but it has two ramifications. Number one, bein kach ubein kach nekran banim, and number two, tzarech l'krois kula. It's good, he likes it. Comes the Parshas Drachim, and the Parshas Drachim says, is there any mitzvah in the Torah that proves we have the status of banim, even bizman shein oisin utzon shel makom? Says the Parshas Drachim, that's right, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra records a conversation between Tornus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. And Tornus Rufus asks Rabbi Akiva, does God love the poor? So Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, sure, he loves the poor. So Tornus Rufus says, so why doesn't he give them supper? Why doesn't he feed them? Says Tornus Rufus, in my opinion, someone who gives tzedakah should be chayiv misa. Because the king decreed that this person should have no money. Who are you to go ahead and contravene the decree of the king? Says Tornus Rufus, unless this person is a great tzaddik, you have no right to give them tzedakah. Says Rabbi Kiva, bad analogy. Giving tzedakah is not like giving money to someone who the king decreed shouldn't have money. It depends who that individual is. If that individual is a slave, and the king decreed he shouldn't have money, and you give him money, you're contravening the law of the king. But what if the king decreed that his son should be punished and put in jail? Then what would the king do to someone who sneaks into the jail and feeds him? The king will shower him with reward. Says Rabbi Akiva, we are not avodim to Hashem, we are banim to Hashem. Says the Parshas Drachim, from here we see that the mitzvah of tzedakah can only be fulfilled if you hold like Shitas Rav Meir, that bein kach ubein kach nekran banim. Therefore I saw in the Sefer Shvilei Pinchas, the yisoid of the miracle of Purim is that even at the time of tremendous chait, even at a time that we're chayiv klaya, even at a time when we're ein oisin ritzoinoi shel makom, the Ribbono Shel Olam says it doesn't matter, we're going to follow Shitas Rav Meir, bein kach ubein kach nekran banim, and therefore, Chazal were mesaken, the ikur yoim tzedakah of the year is Purim, because tzedakah is moichiach, that we are called Banim Lamaka. So Yaakov Avinu is about to encounter Esav. Vayira Yaakov Ma'oid Vayetzer Loi. Listen to the Lashon of the Medrash. Yaakov saw Esav Haba Meirachik. The Medrash says Yaakov saw Esav was coming from a distance. Why does the Medrash focus on the fact that Esav was coming from a distance? Bechlau, what was Yaakov afraid of? Earlier, he came to the well. The well was covered by a stone. Yaakovino flicked off the stone like a bottle cap. There were three burly shepherds there. They couldn't budge the stone, and Yaakov flicked it off like a bottle cap. So why is he afraid of Esav? Let Yaakovino knock them all out. He was afraid of these guys. Says Rabbi Avadya Yosef in the Chazon Avadya. Yaakovino was not afraid of Esav. He could have knocked out him and all 400 men. He was afraid of Esav Haba Meirachayk. He was afraid of Esav in the distance, in the far distance. He's afraid of Haman. And the Baal HaTurim says this exactly because Yaakov Avinu davens, Hatzileni Na Miyad. Baal HaTurim says, Hatzileni Na Miyad Rosh Tevois Haman. So Yaakov Avinu says, Oy vai, I'm not afraid of Esav, but I'm afraid of the Esav Haba Meirachayk. Now Yaakov says, oh no, those Yidden in the time of Shushan, they're going to be Neneh from the Suda of Achashverosh. They're going to be Ein Oysen Ritzoynoy Shamakoyim. And the only way to be bailed out of that situation is the Shita of Rameir. And therefore Yaakov was afraid, Shema Yaroy Gachirim. Because in the context of the miracle of Purim, there's only one way out. Shitas Rameir, Ben Kach, Ben Kach, Nekron Banu. And therefore Yaakov was afraid, Shema Yaroig Achirim. One last idea. It says Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, Amar Rabba Barachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Osra Lichtoiv Ois Acha Shalai Menaksav. Any Seifrim here? Oh, you have a Seifrim. What's your name?
Kudlevsky.
What?
Kudlevsky.
Free commercial on the Torah Anytime channel. Okay? We'll bill you later. Okay? So, when you write a Megillah, you cannot write it Baal Peh. You have to write it Mitoch HaKsav. So Gemara says a story. Rameir went to be Ma'avar the Shana in Asia, in Asia. Before any coronavirus, he went over there. V'loi ha'yosham Megillah v'kosva al Peh. Sestira, how you're now to write a Megillah al Peh? Amar Rabbi Avohu, Shani Rab Meir, Demekayim Bey, Ve'af Apecha, Yayishiru Negdecha. Mai Ve'af Apecha, Yayishiru Negdecha, Elu Devei Torah, Dechsiv Behu Hasof Einecha Boi Ve'einenu. Torah has this unique phenomenon. You can learn Torah, and it flies out of your head. And you can chazer it, and it just flies. Torah is elusive. Because our minds are basar adam. Torah is ruchni. It's so hard to remember Torah. It's hasaf einecha bai veinenu. It's fleeting. Va'afilu hachim yusharim heim etzel Rameir. But by Rameir it was straight. Rameir just looked ahead and he saw the Megillah. So he wrote it from that. What does this Gemara mean? At the end of the day, there's a halacha. You're not allowed to write a Megillah Baal Peh. Why is Rameir the one exception to the rule? It seems that Rav Meir's life's shita, which is Bein Kach U Bein Kach Nekron Banim, it was Mahus Nafshoi, it was Chorus Aliboy, it was Kosov Al Moichoi. Rav Meir's entire essence was the Shita of Bein Kach U Bein Kach Nekron Banim. It was like Rav Meir was the living embodiment of Megillas Esther, and it was permitted for him to write the Megillah Al Peh because he was copying it from that which was written on his own heart. That's the Soid. Miyusharim Hein Eitzel Rav Meir. Says Bnei Yisachar, the salvation of Purim was the lottery of Haman. How's that? You know, on the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippurim, we have this big decision to make. Which animal goes La Shem, and which animal goes La Azazel? So what do? When we have this big decision to make? We make a lottery. Does that make any sense? When you have a big decision in life, you flip a coin? You know, you have a young bachar, he has a prospective possibility of getting engaged. He has a big shaila, huh, let's flip a coin. Yeah, that's a good mahalach in life. Whenever you don't know what to do, you make a lottery. I mean, that's absurd. Here's the holiest day of the year. This is one of the most important decisions we're making, and we make a lottery. What's the inyan? Says Bnei Yisrael, the inyan is like this. On Yom Kippur, when our lives are on the line, we need to telegraph a message to Shamayim. Remember, Ribbono Shel Olam, at the end of the day, no matter what we do, you've selected us to be your children. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam select us? It's Ratzon Belitam. I remember I once told one of my kids, you know, Naftali, you know why Daddy loves you? He's like, why? He said, because I do. He said, Daddy, that doesn't make any sense. But it's true. It doesn't make any sense. You love your kid because they're your kid. There's no reason for it. Hashem loves us because we're His kinderlach, because we're His children. It's Milsa Belitam. And therefore, on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, we want to be ma'oirer, that ahava, that we are the chelek of Hashem, v'ata toimech goyroli, that we are the goyrol of Hashem. So by making the goyrol downstairs, it's ma'oirer and shamayim, that in fact we are the goyrol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what happened on Purim. That at the time we were nena from the Suda of Achashverosh, and we were liable to kloya chas v'shalem, lashmet larag liyabed. And we needed to come on to the Shita of Achirim, Shita of Meir, that Benkach and Benkach Nikram Banim. The Ribbono Shel Olam orchestrated that the Tzara came about Al Yedeya Goyrol, because that in the end of the day was Ma'orer and Shamayim, that we are Ata Toimech Goyroli, we are the Goyrol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, B'li Tam, just because we're Banim Ahuvim. So, we should be zoicha, that on this great day of the year, the day of Purim, this Ava should be Nesoirer, Eitz HaKlal Yisrael, for the ultimate Yeshua, the V'yas Gal Tzedek, and Herbi Yomino, Amen. Amen.